If you have not filed your tax forms yet, that means one of two things. Either you know you owe, so you're delaying the arrival of your fate, or you're still trying to figure out and get your stuff together and not quite sure about some of the filing requirements. You know, maybe it's your first year as a business owner and first time business taxes, for example. My next guest joins us with the help and guidance that you need so you don't set off any audit alarms. He is the president and CEO of the National Association for the Self-Employed, Keith Hall. Good morning, Keith.
Good morning. Thanks for having me.
And website for the National Association for the Self-Employed, NASE.org. Find some great downloads, information, clarification, and help that you need. Let's take this in two parts, Keith, for the individual, and then we'll get into some those first-time business filers, for example, because a lot of people are. Always say that people lose their jobs, but they don't lose their ability to do stuff, so they're starting to do it on their own. But what's as far as an individual tax filer right now, how common is it for someone to take the easy way out with the easy form and short themselves of what they might get back without by not doing a long form?
I think it's not so much form you use, but taking those shortcuts. You know, it's very easy to say, you know, I'm not going to worry about this particular deduction. Maybe I'm not going to worry about my options for an IRA contribution, for example. Maybe I can just forego those standard deductions so I don't have to add up my charitable contributions. It's very convenient to take a shortcut. But the thing I would make sure that people recognize and consider is if you do take those shortcuts, it can be pretty expensive because foregoing some of those deductions, some of those legitimate things to help you save some of your tax dollars, it can be very expensive taking the easy way out.
Yeah, it sort of seems ridiculous when you say it outside of doing it or after the fact, but that was too difficult to do. You're basically saying that's too tough to do. I don't want to get more of my money back. That goes true for, like you just said, or the earned income credit. People just don't want to take the time to figure out, or maybe they're just confused with the formula, even though IRS sort of puts the instructions in. But then, you know, on the flip side, too, there are places to go for assistance if you can't figure some of those things out.
That's exactly right. You know, I do lots of seminars across the country. We have lots of members who call in with questions. And one of the things I always leave every single situation is make sure you remember that you're not alone, especially at tax time. It's easy to think that there's nobody out there that can help you. But our website at NASE.org, I mean, the IRS website, it sounds weird to say it, but the IRS has put a lot of effort into their website, which is IRS.gov, provides lots of detail, lots of answers, lots of frequently asked questions, lots of ways to help you through the process. So remember, you know, regardless of how it feels late at night when you're trying to tackle those tax forms, always remember that you're not alone.
Do you think a lot of people hesitate putting down legitimate deductions? For example, the standard mileage rate for business use of your vehicle is 57.5 cents a mile. So if you do a lot of I'll go back to my experience, advertising sales back in the day, and there'd be a day I could easily put 150 miles in that day on my vehicle. And I did the math at tax time, and I legitimately had, by that formula at that point in time, almost an $8,000 deduction. I'm thinking, this doesn't red flag me. I guess nothing would. But if you back up what you put with information like one of those little mileage books, if they do come to question you, you have proof, no harm, no foul, I guess.
Absolutely true. And in fact, the business use of an automobile is one of the easier deductions to miss, because it doesn't show up in your checkbook. You're not writing a check for it. So you're going through your receipts at the end of the year, getting your stuff ready for your tax return, and it's very easy to forget about those business miles. And to your point, the documentation that is required by the IRS to support that business usage is simply a mileage log. So get you a little spiral notebook or a little journal, keep it in the car. Every other day, every third day, maybe every Saturday morning with your coffee, take that mileage log out and write down the actual miles you did that week for business. And when you get to the end of the year and you sit down and add them up, you'll be shocked at how many miles you actually drove in support of your business. It can be a very powerful deduction.
And we're going to segue into business talk as we talk with Keith Hall, who is the president and CEO of the National Association of the Self-Employed. NASE.org is their website. And you're listening to Issues and Ideas. For that person who had been an employee and is now an employer, or the employee and employer, because a vast majority of the small businesses are a party of one, as they like to say. What is the filing process? How is the filing process different for the business owner versus the individual for the first timer?
Well, the new business owner does have a few more forms. The good news is the sole proprietor, that individual who is among 27 million Schedule C filers for 2015 alone, that small business owner basically includes a form or a Schedule C, which is called profit or loss for business, basically just has all the income and all the expenses. That form is included with their personal income tax return. So there's no separate form, separate tax return, separate filing. It's just a couple of extra pieces of paper that go along with their individual tax form.
Much like we talked about with the EZs versus the long forms, is there any advantage or disadvantage if you're a business as a sole proprietorship, LLC, or corporation?
At the end of the day, the entity form that you choose is not going to have a material impact on your overall tax liability. Again, back to the profile of that typical new small business owner, just an individual, doesn't have any employees, most likely operating as a sole proprietorship is going to be the cheapest way, is going to be the easiest way, going to have the least headaches. There are certainly other reasons to choose an LLC or a corporate form of entity. If, you know, if you're in one of those businesses that might have a little bit higher than normal liability, things might happen. Those are some good reasons to form an LLC or a corporation. But avoid forming a specific type just because you think it's going to save in taxes. Because at the end of the day, the overall tax liability is going to be about the same.
Now, we talked about the auto becoming a deduction for the individual use on the individual forms, and that also holds true, by the way, for the business owner. How does the home come into play as far as a deduction for home/business use?
That's probably the second most overlooked deduction next to the business use of the automobile that we talked about earlier. Many of those brand-new small business owners operate out of that back bedroom. And if that indeed is the case, there is a deduction available for the use of that back office. And again, it doesn't show up in your business checkbook. You don't write a check for it. But if you use that space in the back of your house there as your home office, then a portion of your mortgage interest, a portion of your real estate taxes, even if you rent your home, part of the rent that you pay, all the utilities that you pay, a percentage of all those costs now become a full business deduction. The IRS has even given us a standard amount. If you don't want to go through all those complicated forms, don't want to add up your utility bills, you basically can just take the square footage of that back bedroom that you use exclusively for business, multiply by $5, and that's your deduction. Simplified, easy to do, no-brainer, and it is certainly a deduction that you're eligible for and you should certainly take.
Wrapping our time with Keith Hall, who is the president and CEO of the National Association for the Self-Employed, and their website is nase.org. Here on Issues and Ideas, I saved probably the most confusing for last, Keith. The Affordable Care Act, Obamacare penalty, the numbers have changed. Does the process change in how it's declared or absorbed, whether it's an individual or a business?
Actually, there's no difference. At the end of the day, the complexities involved are at the individual level. Basically, the ACA requires all of us to have an ACA-compliant health plan, and if we choose not to be covered by such a plan, we're going to pay a penalty. The business owner, those businesses that are bigger, that maybe have more than 50 employees, they have some extra hoops to jump through. But most of us face that potential penalty, which for 2015 now is 2% of your adjusted gross income for not having that compliant plan. Those penalties are going to end up on your personal tax return, even if you do have that self-employed business.
Well, if you are a business owner, a veteran, or someone who is new to the game, as I said before, they can always take away the place to do what you got to do, but you still have the talents and the knowledge and the abilities, so you can do it on your own and you feel unsure or unsteady. National Association of the Self-Employed is a great safety net to become involved with. Learn more about what they offer, what they provide, information and support at nase.org. And we've been joined by their president and CEO, Keith Hall. Keith, thanks for being here this morning.
Thank you so much. My pleasure.